First Peter chapter 1. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your personal involvement. Thank you for your personal presence. Thank you for caring. Thank you for giving us thy word. Thank you for being here to help us understand thy word. God, you gave it. All history, for you there is no history. So God, you're there, and we're here. So put that all together for us. And our God, we're going to look to you in the light of our country, in the light of the world, in the light of the conditions and the direction of our country and the world. God, even so come. In Christ's name, amen. We share together a little bit to remind ourselves as we are commencing, like in Exodus 14, to go forward, not to go backwards. You can't go backwards successfully. You have to go forward successfully. You can't pick up the pieces, they're gone. You have to go forward. You want to see how it's going to come out? You have to move into the future. We share together, there needs to be a freshness in our exercise, in exercising our faith. We walk by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. And to have a healthy fear of God that changes our character and conduct. Not running away from God, running into God. And we need to follow through. If we don't follow through, you have to finish what you're doing. If you're cooking something on the stove, you have to finish cooking it. If you're writing a sentence, you have to finish the sentence. You have to finish, follow through. You want the benefit of something, you've got to follow through. And in following through, in order to enjoy the fullness, all of the benefits. So now, here in 1 Peter, picking up the thought, if I may, to get to where we're going. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, being set apart, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a living hope. How so? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we're to have a living hope, a wonderful living expectancy as we're moving. We're to have that. A hope is looking for all that lies, anticipating, expectation, anticipation of all that lies ahead. Now, and verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So they say, we're going somewhere, and something is awaiting us. Some wonderful, wonderful truth. Wonderful reality. Truth, the word truth / reality. The wonderful reality of tomorrow is waiting. Waiting. No disease, no diminishing. It's wonderful what lies ahead. Now, having said that little bit, and thus you come to verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith, believing, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So here we are going down, and we're being kept, guarded, the word to be guarded, protected, present tense. We are being guarded by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to reveal the last time. In other words, we're trusting God, and God's doing the taking care of us as we trust Him by faith. So, in the process, by faith. And faith needs to be proven. Verse 6, we are in a great rejoice, though now for a season. If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, all kinds of being put to the test. And if that's ever true, it's true certainly of our day, in which we live not only locally, globally, nationally, globally. Every which way you want to look, we are there. Now, verse 7. That the trial, the putting to the proof, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So God, we're in full of hope. Verse 3, as we go forward, there's a great expectancy for what's ahead, and therefore we aren't looking back, as you'll see tonight, not looking back. We're looking forward, rightly so, to what's ahead, and we're being kept so that we can get there. How are we going to ever arrive at that place? God, you're keeping us, and that the trial and test and all the stuff we are experiencing in our earthly life right now, in our world, to say the least, all of that is very profitable if we use it properly and understand that the world passes away and the lust thereof. So we aren't trying to save and get something that is unsavable. We aren't trying to fix something that is unfixable. So therefore, we are realistic, looking to God, and bearing up under the load, the trying of our faith, and the result is going to be, and it's expectant, joy unspeakable. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, you believe, in the Lord Jesus Christ, even the salvation of your souls. Now, therefore, that being the case, verse 14, as obedient, I'll read verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, thought process. Be sober, hope to the end. Don't just be, I hope tomorrow will work out, and then you forget the next day and the next day and the next day. Each moment leaves you, moves you to the next moment in which you are expecting, like a series of steps going down the pathway. You can't get there without making all the steps. Each step makes for the next step. Say it another way. Each shovelful of snow gets you to the next shovelful, and pretty soon the snow is all gone. One thing at a time. You can't just have to follow through. Now, so God, here's the hope. We've got to hang in there. Verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance. No, we come to know the Lord as your Savior. You're changed. You have a wonderful relationship to God that you need to exercise, and you need to exercise it. Now, so we have a whole new relationship, a whole new reality, a whole new way of getting and exercising rightness in the midst of wrongness, exercising God's rightness. Now, so we want to move on. Thus, verse 15, but as he which is called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, way of life. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So now, God, here we are, and we're encouraged to be hoping, going down the corridor of time, and we are told to be, we're going to be different, because our hope, biblical hope, living hope, changes our life, changes our thinking. And in going down the corridor of time, we're going to what? We understand we need to be different. Holy. God, you're holy. We're to be holy. We have a new relationship. All the rags that we wore are to be put off. And God gives us a new set of clothing, as it were. A new set, a new covering. A new thought process. We need to use our mind properly and understand it and exercise it. So I'm no more what I was, and I'm not yet what I will be, but I am what I am. So God, here I am, and I understand I'm to be holy, separated, different, wonderfully, wonderfully, practically, profitably different. And verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here, in fear. So here you are as dwelling in on earth. You came to know the Lord as your Savior. You belong to Him. You're bought with a price. God has condemned the world, and you realized you were part of the world. You're the world system, a person. God condemned you when He condemned the world, and He condemned you. So we're all there, God, and you've made a wonderful thing in pardoning, forgiving our sin. And so when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're able to go down the corridor of time, and we're going to be different, wonderfully different, and doesn't matter what anyone thinks, we're just wonderfully different. And we're looking to you, God, as we pass our time. We're sojourning, we're still here, we aren't there, and we're to do so in fear. We're to pass the time of our sojourning here in fear. We're to turn around, to go forward, to dwell, to conduct ourselves. We're to live. We're strangers. Our citizenship, Philippians 3, our citizenship is in heaven. God, you did a wonderful thing for us. You adopted us. We're now aliens. We belong to you. Now, thus, in the light of that, chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the motivation, that which motivates, that the force, the power to move. If you, verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, neither received by tradition from your fathers. You were not redeemed, bought with a price, ransomed, set free from slavery. The price has been paid. You were not set free to have a relationship to God. You were not set free with some cheap gold, silver, precious stones. None of that. No. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest, made clear, public, plain in these last times for you. So here, God, here we are looking, and we're to understand, our God, that we are to be motivated and to go forward and to our days here, and we're to do so because we ought to be holy, and we ought to be in fear, rightly in fear. So that's how we're going to go forward, motivated by that, and understanding the cost, the precious blood of Christ paid, the precious blood of Christ paid the price. Precious, value, high honor, highly esteemed. Very high, precious, valuable. Wow. The blood of Christ made it so I could go forward. Hang on to that. Now, having said that, over if you would please in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, picking up in thought. May I go directly to verse 2. 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The word if is first class. It means since it's true. You have tasted, not you may, you have tasted. You have tasted. The word taste, to have a partnership, an experience. You have tasted, have in partnership, a partaker, a experience. If you have tasted, experienced that the Lord is gracious, the word gracious is the word good. Good, gracious. God is gracious, good, kind. Hold your finger here for a moment and go over with me to Romans chapter 2. Romans and chapter 2. God is gracious, good. You have tasted it. Romans 2 and in verse 4. Or despiseth, I'll read verse 3 for a little context. Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgeth them which do such things, and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or, on the other hand, despisest thou the riches of his goodness? There's your word, gracious, goodness. You despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance. He delays. He would act. He isn't acting. He's delaying. He's procrastinating, as it were, seemingly. Forbearing, goodness and forbearing and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness, kindness, graciousness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It's because he's a good God that cares that you get somewhere and arrive, that you go arrive. He that hath begun a good work in the heart wants to finish it. Philippians 1:6. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Since you have tasted, experienced that the Lord is good. That's how you get saved. A good God saves us. Now, in the light of that, verse 4. To whom coming, we're coming as unto a living stone, disallowed, rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, there's your word again, precious, precious blood. And here it is again in verse 4. The Lord Jesus Christ is elect, chosen, and he's precious. He is a living stone, very precious. Now, having said that, and you know, if you read 1 Corinthians 3 and that, 11, that a foundation that God has put down, the foundation God has put down, is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. So, the reason we can stand on solid ground is because you're resting on his person, on his saving grace, on his work on Calvary's cross. Now, in the same breath, over to Ephesians, coming back, Ephesians chapter 2. And then Ephesians chapter 2, may I go to verse 19? He's the living stone. Why? Why are you saying? Because we're building something. You don't build it out of cardboard, mesh, paper, wood. You're building it out of stone. Stone. Solid, granite, stone. Therefore, God, you keep saying it to us so we don't have any guessing at it, what you're doing. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 19. Now therefore, as you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints, of the household of God, we have a hope, we're living, we're transferred into our citizenship is in heaven. Verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. All the stones must match. He's the one on the building, just like the bricks in the wall. The bricks in the wall are all the same. One brick went down, and all the rest of the bricks are the same. God, you're building something up. I'm building up a wonderful relationship to Christ. He is the living stone. He is the foundation. He's the cornerstone. Everything, how are we going to represent the body of Christ, which is what we are? The church, which is his body. Head, body. Your head matches your body. The largest organ in your body, isn't it? Your skin? Your skin. The head matches the body. Body matches the head. It's one. What are you going to expect? He's the living stone, and he's telling you that as a believer, Jew or Gentile, in the church age, you're part of him, and you need to have a unique relationship to him, and therefore you're going to be like him. Hang on. Ephesians, he's the cornerstone, verse 21, 2 and 21, 2, 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We are being built up. Now, back over to 1 Peter chapter 2. He is the living stone. He is precious, precious. What he did in shedding his blood is precious. That which he bought with a price is precious. Why is it precious? It cost God his son. The money paid. The money paid. Values. You're going to pay $10 million for something? Then the value of it to somebody is worth $10 million. It may not be worth $10 to you, but it's worth $10 million to somebody else. People are just people. But to God, they're precious. He paid for them. So something must, you know, we don't see anything, right? People come and go and all that stuff. But hold it. There must be something that we're to be, have a living hope. We're living stones. Hang on, verse 5. Ye also, as lively living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So our movement forward is motivated by fear. Holy, fear. What are we looking? What makes you so up with it? Motivated. What's motivating you? We're to be holy because he's holy. We're to understand precious. Because what God has done is precious. And that makes me precious. God paid for me with his blood. So no one else may ever care. I'm going to go to the dust of the ground. But to God, I am precious. And so are you, if you're saved. Do you understand? Hang on. I want to drive it home. You need to see it. And you'll pick it up tonight with my illustration and that. Now, that's if we tarry. I hope he does tarry, because then you and I will be, in the next millisecond, we'll know how precious this whole thing is. So, now, thus, verse 6, we're living stones. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Now, God, what are you saying? Read the Scriptures. Read the Scriptures. You want to be encouraged. You want to be assured. You want to be secured. You want to be there. Read the Scriptures about the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his wonderful rhyme and reason for Israel and for the church. And the end of verse 6, He that believeth on him shall not be confounded, made to be ashamed, disappointed, discouraged, depressed. On the contrary, read the Scriptures. You want to know? You want to read it? Read it again. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish. Read it. Because that's what it says. The Scriptures are written for you to have hope. Wonderful, wonderful help and hope. Otherwise, your mind's all over the place. The world's all over the place. As we shared in Sunday school, the blanket of knowledge and internet and is world system is so heavy on top of us that it's hard for any light to get in. And the darkness gets darker, and all the while it looks like it's getting lighter, but actually it's getting darker. Look at all the things we can learn and know, and wow, wow, wow. All the things are happening all over the world, and we can see them all at once, if we could. If they're happening, push a button and see it. Wow. And we don't realize we're being buried. Buried, buried. Our mind is caught up with anything and everything. And we lost you, God. Now, so, verse 6, He is elect and precious, the Scripture said. And if you believe, you aren't going to be confounded, you aren't going to be put to shame. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, not believing, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, they crucified him. And they had to, in the will of God. But in crucifying him, they rejected him, and he was the answer. He is the answer. He is precious. Precious, precious, precious. And thus, he is precious. What he's done is precious. And therefore, you are precious. The believing heart becomes very, very precious. And that makes everything else in your life. In contrast, in comparison, as how much? Your insurance. Your house, your family, your friends, people, in the light. How precious is he? Who, what, when, where can do anything ever make us precious? How do you ever get so precious? Who's going to pay $10 million for you? Who's going to pay that for you? No one. No one. They're going to sell you like how, Matthew? Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, remember we're looking at the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. We're looking at the Garden of Gethsemane. We're looking at the Judas betraying our Lord. And in the process of all of that, you remember the background. Judas, why? Well, how precious is Jesus Christ to you, Judas, after 3.5 years? Did you ever try to enter into the wonderment of his person? Did you ever enjoy your privilege of being part of his person in a wonderful way with him? No. Therefore, Matthew 27, verse 69. 27 and 69. I did say that, didn't I? Now, if you took 69 and didn't put it together, what happens if you put 69 and tried 6 first? 27, 6. The chief priest took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood." Remember, Judas was given 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver is the price of a gourd, an ox. If you had a cow ox and the ox gave you a boot in the britches, then you would owe me, because I got the boot and the breeches, you owe me 30 pieces of silver for the ox that got me. 30 pieces, the cost of a slave, a servant. Now, sliding down, and verse 7, and they took counsel and brought with them to the potter's field to bury strangers, brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore the field was called the field of blood unto this day. Verse 9, that's 6:9. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "When and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they, the children of Israel, did value." How much did you value 30 pieces of silver? Judas, priest, people, he isn't worth $10 million. He's worth the price of a slave and no more. They didn't see him as precious. They crucified him, understandably. Now, having done that, and therefore, go with me, please, over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 5. So we're looking, precious. What was precious? 30 pieces of silver. the value, the preciousness of something. 30 pieces of silver, that's all. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, picking up, if I can, verse 23. Speaking of our little word, precious, precious, honor, high, highly, highly prized, dear, precious, value, etc. Verse 5 and 23, John. And all men should honor, there's your word, the Son. Prize the Son, precious is the Son. Even as they honor, same word, the Father, he that honoreth, again, he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him. If you don't honor the Son as precious, then you don't honor the Father as precious. And if you don't honor the Father as precious, you won't honor the Son as precious. They go together. God is God. He's precious. No one like him. He's the only God, the only Savior. Only Savior. Wow. We're bought with a price. Uh-huh. We are. I'll turn there. First Corinthians in chapter 6. In the light of what we've been looking at in Peter about building, we're part of a wonderful structure. We're very precious stones. Precious people, you want to be precious? Where are you going to find it? Get a prestigious job? A prestigious, is that so good? Position? Something big that you'd, I'm a CEO of Joe's sweatshop. But all of that is nothing And all of that is in terrible danger, jeopardy. Politically, pride-wise, pride, political, power, manipulating, maneuvering, managing, the whole world's managing to get what you have and to go past you. And here you are all trying to get there. Wow! That's because we're trying to find to get precious. No, once you understand, if it ever, God help us to understand, just being alive and a human being, whoever you are, however you are, just being alive makes you very valuable. And when you allow God to do His saving grace in your life, you realize how valuable you were. Not to the world, not to your family, not to brother, sister, mother, father, husband, wife. No, no, no. To you, God. Precious to you. As we did in Sunday school, my Creator, an absolute necessity. And that's why our world is where it is. Now, in the light of chapter 6, verse 19. What know you not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God's. And back over there, to pick up the same movement, bought with a price, over to chapter 7, verse 23, and you are bought with a price, be ye not servants of men. You may be a slave. Remember, almost half the Roman Empire in the day of the New Testament were slaves. Slaves were treated, depending, as a dog was treated better than a slave. So now, God, here you are, slaves, they were slaves. But hey, slave, you have a new owner. Now the guy down the street is going to whip you and make you do his bidding. But you have a new owner. That's me, said God. And so, no, dear slave, you're now a slave of mine. Keep serving down here, and I'll honor you and outwork your life as a slave on earth. I'll outwork your life in the light of your relationship to me. Now, having said that, bought with a price, tested. Where our faith is, we read it, our faith is tested. Now, in the light of that, so we share together about our fear, God. What are we going to do with the fear business? Fearing, that's what's motivated by fear, in the light of what? That we're to be holy and that we're to be precious. We're precious. So that's our motivation. The one who bought me considers me precious. And the one who bought me is most precious. Therefore, Matthew chapter 10, when it comes to fear, you will recall chapter 10 to his disciples, verse 28, and fear them not, which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell or Hades. So fear God. If you fear God, all your other phobias will come into order. Fear God. Fear God. Always fear God. Reverence God. Appreciate God. What are we going to do when we fear God? Well, we're going to go and yield to God. We're going to look to God. Psalm what? Psalm 103. Picking up the movement. Verse 8. 103:8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy to them that fear him. So God, having a healthy respect for you, God, we're to be holy and we're precious, and you're going to be merciful. So God, if we're going to, we aren't going to go in the other direction, we're going to come forward in your direction. As far as the east is from the west, verse 12, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. God, you certainly understand our frailty. Absolutely. Verse 14, he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. For as for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. God, you know how frail and faulty we are. Absolutely. So God, but you're going to buy us with a price? The precious blood of Christ, making us precious in your preciousness. Verse 16. And the wind passes over it, and it is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. But, verse 17, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Upon whom? Upon them that fear him. And his righteousness unto children's children. God, you're doing that. I am. Over to Psalm 40. And may I pick up, please, in Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works. Thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. For if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God, so you're thinking about us. So we're valuable. We're bought with a price. You paid the highest price there is, the cost of your own son, so that we could know you as our Lord and Savior. And God, here we are, and your thoughts to us are wondrous thoughts. Wow. We are to know the wonderful glory of being yours in Christ. As a son, as a child, as a saint. Wow. To know you. We're to know you. And you're privileged to know you. It's a prize thing. A wonderful, wonderful prize and price. Over, if you would, in Psalm 18, in closing. Psalm 18. May I pick up, please, in thought. Remember now, he's precious, and the believing believer that understands why are they precious? Because he is. When you receive, now, here's a oyster. Oyster. Now, an oyster is an oyster. It's just an oyster. But if it had a big, giant pearl in it, what makes this oyster so special? Why would they dive down deep to find this oyster? Because of the pearl. Otherwise, it's just an ordinary oyster. Now, why would you go and dig in the rock? Dig in the rock, just plain old dirt and rock. And out of it, in the rock, there's a little shiny thing called a diamond. A diamond. What made the rock? Here's the rock. What makes the rock so valuable? It's the diamond in it. What makes you precious? Christ in you. Otherwise, you have no preciousness. You're just ordinary oysters. Ordinary dust of the ground. But all of a sudden, you are prized and valued and precious above all the things that God has done. Everything, a new heaven and a new earth, everything's going. except you. That's because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Wow. I hope you didn't get very far. I was trying to motivate you. Try to get you to understand. If you're just going to go, you'll pick it up tonight. You'll get it. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health, God, our world in which we live. God, help us to get a clearer, straighter understanding, God. It isn't we're part of the world system. We're just like everybody else. God, we are expendable to the world and in the world. But God, you created us to have the wonderful, wonderful experience, the relationship to you. To be able to say with Thomas, my Lord and my God. With David, my shield, my song, my salvation, my everything. God, my shepherd. God, you made the believing heart most precious. And that's everything else has to take precedent and be down in order that you might be lifted up. And you, God, make us precious. Not our work, not our home, not our school, not our intellect, not our family, not our friends, not our enemies. No, you, God, make us so very precious. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we could sing, please, a stanza. Number 51, Blessed Assurance. If you know not the Lord as your Savior, we certainly can only encourage you to know Him and to show Him. Number 51.